Blog Talk Radio.
Strong in the power of his might. Put on the hood.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Worldwide international radio broadcast, Yahweh's radio, is now on the air. I'll be your host by name, your Israel of Seed Royal, where we're doing a series called Revealing the Number of the Beast 666, Psalm Edition, tape number 118. This is a live broadcast, so we get ready to do what the Almighty give us to do. And I can tell those, get in where you fit in at, because one thing about it, this ministry is on a roll, because it's led by Zechariah 9:14, YHWH. So long as you know you got your YHWH in front of you, then you have no fear of anything, long as your YHWH is before you. All right, it's a live broadcast, but we do see on the left side, we seen the elder in a minute ago. But right now, we don't, what we do, we put on a temporary tape until the elders come in the room, and then we'll get something going on. We'll go live shortly after the elders come into the room and do their part. So one thing about those seer always ready. I'm always ready to do my part. Remember, we got a statement in the Bible. It talks about in Acts 13. It's something. Matter of fact, let me read that real quick. It talks about something in Acts 26. No, 13. It's a statement written in the book of Acts, chapter 13. And it makes a profound statement in Acts 13. Let's see what it says. Around up. It says, men and brothers, children of the stock, the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and whosoever among you fears from Yahweh, to you is the word of this salvation sent. 27. For they that dwell at Judah, southern kingdom, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon, and their fathers, they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the seer, which are read every Sabbath day. You see what he say? According to prophecy in Yahweh's word, you will hear the voice of the seer every Sabbath day. You know, the Sabbath day is sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. And one thing to fulfill prophecy, you always going to hear. And what time the Sabbath day is? Well, that's a big dignitary tell you what time the Bible Sabbath day is. Let's find out.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me and you said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job
yeah.
with Will Smith
yes.
and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
And the time we're in right now, it is the closing of the first day of the week. See, this is really when the sun sets. Remember, the Bible worship day, when you're going into Friday, that is the beginning. When the sun sets, that is the beginning of the Almighty's worship day. That is the beginning of it. When you're going into Friday, like when you know when you get your paycheck on Friday, and then as it starts dawn, getting dark, that is the beginning. That's called the morning of the Sabbath day. And then it goes all the way around. You know, a lot of people have their classes like 11, 12 o'clock and 1 p.m. But you're going into the closing of the Sabbath day then. That's called the closing of the Sabbath day. That's called the bottom of the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day starts Friday. As soon as you start seeing the sunset, and then, matter of fact, we might look at a few things showing you around that time that the Almighty, he starts making his move toward the temple site. Matter of fact, all of the big dignitaries knew they had to get there to turn the lights on because the people were ready to come in, but they couldn't get in until the one that was anointed to get in there and turn the lights on, light the incense, get all the candles lit. Then the people would flock in. So one thing about it, that's why it's so important to rehearse the righteous act. You got to be ready to take care of this man's business. If you want this man's blessing, if you want this man to be seen over you, then you got to follow what this Bible says. And you always got to fear every generation to show you what this Bible says. The fear is not to tell you where you're going and where you've been. But one thing to fear, you can track the fear down on the fact that every Sabbath day, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday, you will hear the voice of the fear. And that's a game changer right there. And once you know you follow the scriptures, then you might as well just run back. Because one thing about it, taken out in 1885 by the Protestant Church, it makes it plain on how he's staying. That's that. I might as well, since I'm waiting for the elders to come in the room, I might as well read it if I can find it. Book was taken out in 1885. It's a statement that's written in 2 verse 12, if I can find the book. The book. That red book. But remember, 1911, you go on your computer and just ask that old telephone, say, telephone, how many books was in the original King James Bible? They'll tell you. What was in the original King James Bible was 80 books. And 14 was removed. And what was removed out of this book was Tarot 2 verse 12. Let you know, if you got your mighty one right, then it's nowhere in records that you will come up short. Well, I'm paraphrasing right now because I can't find my book. But we see our elder, lead teacher out of Camp 1, have came in the room, although he was in the room earlier. But now he's ready to go. He's probably in his rocking chair now, ready to rev back and holler in the microphone. That's a great thing. So now since our elder's coming on, we might as well get something going on take number 118. So when you meet our elder, lead teacher out of Camp 1, Elder Yadav Israel, I'm saying, Elder Yahdai Israel. Yahweh did to have seen right.
Yeah, God bless you, see Israel. I see royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. As I am. Hallelujah. Hey, yo, we're going to get something going on. Because I thought I had to kind of maybe put on a recorded tape for a minute. We did see you in the room earlier. But now I see you ready to go. I'm always ready. Like I said, old Seer. You got to lead by example. You're always ready. I'm always ready to do the Yahweh's business. Because Yahweh made it plain. Here, you should say something here. Even before you get tied up with Luke 12:12, hey, Ella, can you read me that? The rock? I can't find my apocryphal or my 16:11 book. But it's been written over there in 16:12. You know, I'm good for shoot from the hip every now and then. And 2:12, can you help those see out before we get started on take number 118? What do it say for confidence for you to always understand and examine yourself through confidence? Hey, Elder, what does it say in 2:12?
Book of Sirach, chapter 2, verse number 10 reads, to get the generation of old and see ever any trust in Yahweh and was confounded, or did any abandon his fear and was forsaken, or whom did he ever despise that called upon him?
Excellent, Elder, and I like how you jump up in there and straighten old fear out so well by in that book. Like he's supposed to be, said, no, see, that's 2:10. And that's what it's all about. See, that's the game changer right there. See, we can't be like, hoo-owl when something come up. We got to know what's going on. You know why we got to know what's going on? Hey, Elder, give me one more before we get some Matthew 10:19. Give me one more in St. John 3:11. Now, I feel I'm struggling right now, Elder, but 3:11 might help those seers get itself, get it warmed up a little bit. What it say in St. John 3:11, the other?
The book of St. John, chapter 3, verse number 11 reads, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, speak that we do know, and testify of that we have seen, and you receive not our witness.
The other, we covered in. That we speak what we know. That's why we know this thing gonna bust wide open, there's no doubt about it. Because we speak what we know. Now, if I need one verse on the Elder, then we get up from 10:19. Now, Paul talked about the same thing over there in Galatians, or Apostle of Corinthians. He says that he was not that he was qualified, he was something, he said. He wasn't. He was saying that he knew what he was talking about. So that's the precept to the Elder. If he's struggling right now, and then we'll go to Matthew 10:19. But Paul talked about, you know, that he was, he might be rude in speech. See, it's just like, oh, Elder. Then sometimes they accuse him of being, rapid boy. Elder Yahdai Israel. But he might be rude in speech, but not according to knowledge. And that's what I'm talking about. This thing is about knowledge. Now, it ain't about how fast you can run and jump, squat, and bump the golf. Now, you're going to have some knowledge now. And that's why we come on this broadcast humble. But Paul, he went visit the Corinthians, or he would visit the Galatians, Northern Kingdom, Israel, and Judah. And he told him something about himself, that he might be rude in speech, but when it comes down to knowledge, he's right on. Hey, Elder, bring it off of the national audience. Come on.
You ain't trying to lay my eyes on it.
You trying to lay your eyes on him? Well, that was me a little bit of that. Give me a little bit of that. We're going to go and get something going on. But we know that is written somewhere in Galatians, somewhere, or 1 Corinthians, it talks about that statement. He said, I might be rude in speech, but not when it comes down to knowledge. But I'm struggling right now, yo, but then you're going to get something going on. So right now I'm struggling. But I like to have that. Then we're going to get something going on take 118. That he says, I might be rude in speech. You know, I might not quote the English language as good as you do it. Or when it comes down to Bible, biblical knowledge, you ain't going to take me to no woodshed, I'll tell you that. I'll bet you that. And look at the WCC set. See, well, we're going to take you to the woodshed sooner or later. Yeah, okay. Well, sooner or later. So, Elder, hey, can you help me see over there? About I might be...
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
You're looking at it? Bring it out for the national audience. We want to talk about our position of the Sixth Anointed Camp. When it comes down to opening this Bible, this pertains to the whole Sixth Anointed Camp from South Carolina to Chicago. Read that verse to hell.
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 5 and 6 reads, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 5, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. Verse 6. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things.
That's what we said. We might, you know, and I ain't going to make no bones about it. Though I don't quote the king's language even don't eat the king's food the way you do it. Because I know one thing, ain't not a penalty from the Bible. You try to quote the king's language. Well, you said that wrong, dear. So what? It's just like you tell me about eating the king's food, knowing the king's food can cause you all kind of high blood pressure, diabetes, sugar, and everything. So what? Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Hey, let's get something going on now. In the book of Matthew 10, 19, let's get something going on. Take 19 now. Come on.
Book of Matthew chapter 10, verse number 19 reads, Matthew 10, verse number 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, which shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak.
Mm-hmm. And when he give it to you in that same hour, according to Luke 21:15, can you tie that in 21:15? What about Luke 21:15? When he give it to you in that very same hour, Luke 21:15 says what?
Book of Luke 21, verse number 15 reads, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist.
Hey, we got a lot of adversaries in the Sixth Anointed Camp, from the WCC World Council Churches, from out there in Utah, that big organization out there called Latter-day Saints out of Utah Committee for it, and the Roman Catholic Church out of New York. So we got a lot of adversaries. But Yahweh is saying one thing. If you got me right, I got you right. Because there's nowhere in record that I didn't get you right if you got me right. And Dr. Land saying, Luke chapter 12, verse 12. What does that say to him?
Book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
And at the very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. and never forget what is written in Samuel 15, verse 4. See, never forget about 1 Samuel 15, verse 4. National audience, never forget what is written in 1 Samuel 15, verse 4. Hey, Elder, what's written in 1 Samuel 15, verse 4?
Book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 4 reads, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 4. Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, and 10,000 men of Yakdah Judah.
Excellent. Now, swing over to the 17th chapter of the same book, and what happens in verse 4 of the 17th chapter of verse 4? What happened in the 17th chapter, Elder?
The book of 1 Samuel 17, verse number 4 reads, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span.
They went out a champion. So there go your champion. Here come the champion out. So remember, you know, we think right now that right now we invincible and all that good stuff because of champion. But let's find out about this champion, Elder, in verse number, particularly verse 1748. Let's see what happened to this big champion in 1748, and we'll read down to get our point. Let's talk about this great big champion that came out in the days of David when he was a little youth. Let's talk about him in 48. Let's read a bit. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 48. Let's read a bit, Dale.
The book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 48 reads, and it came to pass, when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. Verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone stuck into his forehead. He fell upon his face to the earth. Verse number 50. So David prevailed over the Philistines with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine, and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David.
Okay, listen, God.
Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of the sheath. Thereof and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled.
That's it. So now you see what happened? That champion came down. And that's the same thing we try to tell you now. See, right. Once we line up with this book, the champion is coming down. The champion is coming down, and the champion is of Mizpah. The one that gave you bad information. See, that champion has gave you bad information. And we come humble to put a Psalm 69, verse 4 on you. See, we come on this broadcast six nights a week to deal with the champion. And we come to give you 69, verse 4 of the book of Psalms. Hey, Elder, what does Psalm 69, verse 4 say?
The book of Psalm 69, verse number 4 reads, they that hated me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemy wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away.
You see what y'all do? See, we try to restore back to you what we took not away. See, our mission is to restore back to you what we took not away. See, the Almighty told you plainly what to do in the pages of this book. But we paid the page of the book, No Nevermind, and that was prophesied in the book of Ezekiel chapter 3 there, Elder. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, Elder, it was a profound statement made to those seers by the mouth of Yahweh to the seer. Let's see what he says in 3:5, and we'll keep reading till we get our point. See, we try to restore back to you what we took not away from you. See, we didn't take away all this information that you have that is wrong, big time wrong. But our mission of the Sixth Anointed Camp is to restore back to you, took not away from you. We just is tagged to deliver the knockout blow on the champion. And that's what we're going to do. So in Ezekiel 3, verse 5, he called those seers to the side. He looked in eyeball to eyeball in 3:5. We'll read down to get our point. Hey, yo, what he says in Ezekiel 3, verse 5, we'll read to get our point. Come on.
The book of Ezekiel 3, verse number 5 reads, "Thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, nor of a hard language, but to the family of Israel," verse number 6. "And to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely I have sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee." Verse number 7. "But the family of Israel would not hearken unto thee, for they would not hearken unto me. For all the nation of Israel are impudent and hard-headed."
You see that? He said, listen, sir, although you're going to a people of your people, your bloodline people, but they're not going to listen to you. But they don't even listen to me. They don't even follow my lead. So when they pay you no never mind, just keep doing the part that it takes you to do and assisting on the camp to get my blessing before I deliver them up. So just keep doing your part. So now, when we read the next three verses, it's going to tell us something very important, Elder. What's the next three verses say, Elder, from 7 down to verse 10?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse number 8. "Behold, I have made thy face strong against their face, thy forehead strong against their foreheads." Verse number 9. "As an adamant harder than a flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious family." Verse number 10. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in your mind, and hear with your ear." Verse number 11. "And go get you to them of the captivity, unto the children, the family of your people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith Yahweh, whether they hear or whether they forbear."
He said, get to your people, and that's why we, and then that takes me to the, we want to be clear. See, our mission is this. When you know your position in Yahweh, this claim is this. We're not anti-anybody. And we're not affiliated with anybody. We affiliated with 9 verse 14. Hey, Elder, Zechariah, see, this is who the Sixth Anointed Camp is affiliated with. We affiliated with Zechariah 9:14. What is that, Elder, 9:14?
Because Zechariah 9, verse number 14 reads, Zechariah 9, verse number 14, "And Yahweh shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and Yahweh, Yahweh shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwind of the south."
You see that? So who the Sixth Anointed Camp of voices of the two Israelites affiliate with, it is the four-letter man, YHWH. And we not anti-anybody, but we are pro-12 tribes of Israel. We don't tag team with no other camp, no other groups. I don't care if they're Israelites or whatever they call them, feel it with them. Because we know we the lead tribe. We is following the four-letter man, YHWH. And we not hooked up with any other group nowhere on the face of the planet. Because we know this ministry is the lead ministry. We're going to lead, but all along we're going to be behind is that four-letter man, YHWH. Because we clear about this four-letter man calling the angel coming to us out of heaven. He made a final statement, Elder, in 116, verse 13 of Psalms. This angel came from heaven. He looked David eyeball to eyeball in 116, verse 13, and he said something to him. Hey, Elder, what did he say in Psalms 116, 13 to old King David? What did he say to him?
Book of Psalms 116, verse number 13 reads, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh.
You see that? Hey, how many letters is the name of Yahweh in?
Four letters, YHWH.
And that's how you will know about the sixth anointed camp. All we're going to talk about, eat, sleep, and communicate to you about it is the four letters, YHWH. So that's what we are affiliated with, the four-letter man. But we're not anti-anybody. We just pro 12 tribes of Israel. So that's our disclaimer we're trying to tell you about. We're not going to deal with anybody. You can't tie us in with nobody. Because Yahweh run this thing absolute. Now, the chief speaker of the nation of Israel, he made up a final statement. He read that verse in 1000 B.C. Then he came right back and looked all the other 11 that was with him and the children of Israel eyeball to eyeball, and he told them something in Acts 4:12. Hey, yo, what are you telling in Acts 4:12?
Book of Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 reads, Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So you see that? The only way we're going to get this salvation you're looking for, you got to call on the one name. The one name. Now, Peter said that, but do you know Peter's record? Let me show you Peter's record in Scripture, the reason why Peter said ain't but one name going to get you salvation. We're going to back up to 16, verse 13, and we'll read John to get our point about Peter. We're going to read you and get our point there, Elder. Peter made a profound statement. He looked at children of Israel through the eyes of the apostle, the father that was with him. And he was talking some good talk. But let's see, was he speaking from emotion? We're going to 16:13. We'll read down until we get our point there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, what does it say?
Book of Matthew 16, verse number 13 reads, when Yahweh the Son came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14. They said, some say that thou art John, called the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the seers. Verse 15. He said to them, but whom do you say that I am? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are Yahweh, the Son of the living Yahweh the Father. Verse 17, and Yahweh the Son answered and said unto him, blessed thou, Simon, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father is in heaven.
So you see, so when Peter said what he said in Acts 4:12, he wasn't trained in any institution. He didn't go to Moody Bible College and get that information. No. The Father himself, from the mouth of the Son, said, Blush and Bluff could have told you that, Peter. But my Father in heaven told you that. So when he said 4:12, hey, listen, if you got a ear, you better hear. And if you got grandmamas and parents all over the place, they all on their knees, talking about the Lord, God, and Jesus, and Allah, and Jehovah, you better listen to what the Almighty put in Peter's head and told Peter, Acts 4:12. What did he say, Elder? What did he say in Acts 4:12?
Book of Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 reads, Book of Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven, even among men, whereby we must be saved.
So you see, what we try to restore back to you, what we took not away. Long as you use them pagan names, Lord God, Jesus, Allah, Yahweh, Yahweh, and all that old stuff, you ain't going nowhere. Not according to Peter, because the Yahweh the Son said, hey, Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you what you just, he said, flesh and blood ain't told you nothing, and I ain't told you nothing. My Father elbowed me and said, let me get at Peter, because he knew Peter going to be the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. And he told Peter, look, Peter, you get on that microphone, you tell them, that wants some salvation. There's no how to get this salvation. It ain't but one name gonna get you salvation. So if you're not called on the four letter, YHWA, I don't care how much good work you're doing, he's gonna make it plain to you about your good work. I mean, you know, you got a lot of groups that do a lot of good work. But imagine what he going to say to you in the 7th chapter of Matthew. See, he going to say something to you, and we try to tell you now that what's written from his mouth. Oh, I do a lot of good work. I'm always at the camps. I'm always doing my part. Okay, good. But do you want to know what he going to tell you when it's all said and done? We're going to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And we don't see what he says down in verse 23. Listen good. This is in red. If you got the King James Bible, this is in red. Look what he's going to say to you in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Now, imagine you've been watching your mother, your auntie, Uncle Willie. You've watched them all been Lord God and Jesus and Allah and Jehovah. Imagine that you know what's going to happen. And these verses right here in Matthew 7, 21 out of verse 23. Hey, Elder, what's that say, Elder?
Book of Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21 to verse 23 reads. Book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 reads. Not everyone that says unto me, Yahuwah, Yahuwah, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Yahuwah, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have done, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work sin, iniquity.
You hear that? Now imagine you watching your auntie, you know, save up all her good money. and given to that preacher and put all that time in, watch that preacher pray over that hall and everything, and really think, and when the time appointed, this man going to have you in the right position to receive the kingdom. No. No. See, that's why we come humble to restore back to you what we took not away. The people of the book, they did not keep Sunday 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock called Sunday school. They didn't keep that. The people of the Bible kept the Sabbath day. Sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. See, we trying to restore back to you what we took not away. See, the champion is the one gave you Sunday morning and Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah, and Allah. The champion gave you that. We try to restore back to you what we took not away. The man going to burn you in the fire. That's why Peter said to those that had an ear to hear, it ain't for one name going to get you salvation. He told Ezekiel, fear, get to the captivity of your people. That's why we said we're not anti-anybody. In the captivity of Ezekiel people, when you precept that to 6:13 of Daniel, it'll tell you who the captivity of Ezekiel people is by precepting your Bible to 6:13. Hey, yo, what it say in Daniel 6:13 when you precept your Bible?
Book of Daniel chapter 6, verse number 13 reads, Daniel 6, verse 13, then answered Daniel said before the king that Daniel, which is of the family of the captivity of Yahdah Judah.
So you see, and like we say, you know, we've been accused of not saying something good about the other 17 nations. That is not our mission. If it's something good about the 17 nations, we will say it. But we clear by watching the 17 nations from the pages of the book of Jeremiah and 1 verse 4 and 5, Elder. Now, Jeremiah and 1 verse 4 or 5, then 50 verse 7, it's going to tell us something. What you said about Jeremiah in chapter 1, 4, 5, then swing over to 50, verse 7. Let's talk about Jeremiah's fear. Come on.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse number 4, verse number 5 reads. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse number 4 reads. Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse number 4. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a seer unto the nations.
I ordained you a seer to the nations. Then what did he say? With all that full knowledge of Yahweh in his head, what do he say in 50, verse 7 of Jeremiah? Now, what did Jeremiah say with all that knowledge? Yahweh said, let me tell you something. I know your mother and father had a good time, but I always put the fix on you to come. You was ordained in the womb to be a seer. In the womb. Now, look what he said after he got some sense in his knees. Look what he said to Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. Look what he said to him in 50, verse 7.
The book of Jeremiah 50, verse number 7. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, we offend not, because they have sinned against Yahweh, the habitation of justice, even Yahweh, the hope of their fathers.
He said everybody guilty. He said all the 17 nations are skinning grin and, you know, talk that smack to you. They all guilty. See, that's one thing you got to understand, see, right, 12 tribes of Israel. Every nation is 18 nations, and you are the youngest nation to make up the 18. Every nation is guilty on delivering you up. So keep that in your mind when you doing, it's nothing wrong with doing, you all as big as you want with them. But understand one thing. Every nation on the planet Earth was back there on the left side of the book is here today. Now look at WCC. Now, see, now, you got to give me a precept on that. Elder, in the book of Ecclesiastes, let's get the WCC out with a precept. Every nation that was back there on the left side of the book is here today. In the fourth chapter, Elder, verse 16, the wise man of the world will let you know whatever was back there on the left side of the book is here today on the right side of the book. Let's even read that, Elder, in the book of Ecclesiastes, out of the regular book, 4:16 says what?
The book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 4, verse number 16. Please answer chapter 4, verse number 16 reads, if a man could commit himself unto her,
married her. Hold on, I'm in the regular book. I'm still in the regular book. Ecclesiastes, regular book 4:16. What's the regular book of Ecclesiastes 4:16 say?
Ecclesiastes 4, verse number 16 reads, there is no end of all the people, nations, even of all that have been before. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Truly this also is vanity, vexation of spirit.
There is no end of the people. That means everybody exists on the left side of the book. Hey, on the right side of the book. Because you know what Yahweh did in 12, verse 7, the same book, Ecclesiastes. See, we got to be clear that we understand what he did in 12, verse 7 with those that were of yesterday. Hey, yo, in 12, verse 7, what did Yahweh do with those of yesterday? What did he do that we can read in 12, verse 7?
Book of Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 7 reads, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto Yahweh who gave it.
Mm-hmm. You say you gonna return back to the dust. But that breath of life which you are, that breath returned to Yahweh. And he had that in his hand. And he placed that right back in the world whenever you get ready. If you were wicked then, and he took that breath from you, he got that wicked breath and put it right back in a wicked person today. So the one that, he don't take the breath of a wicked and put it in the breath of somebody that's going to be all right. He put that same breath in the wicked. See that? So what do you do? So if a people was wicked way back yesterday, then them same people is wicked today. See, that's what you got to understand something. This is the power of the Almighty. But if you was good back in the day, then that spirit, he going to put in your loins, your gene pool, something good. And the definition of being good now make it plain, a Bible good. See, you might be worldly good, but we come out Bible good. And Bible good is Romans chapter 7, 10 through 12 and 16. See, this is Bible good. You might say, well, I'm good. Okay, concerning what? You're concerning the world, you good, but you not Bible good, are you? Oh, yeah, I'm Bible good. Okay, then. When we read Romans 7, 10 through 12 and 16, Just tell me, are you Bible good? I don't want to know now. I'm a good person. Yeah. A good person of the world or a good person of the Bible? Which one? Let's find out if you're a good person of the Bible. Romans chapter 7, 10 through 12 and 16 elders. Let's see can they produce their call.
The book of Romans chapter 7, verse number 10 through 12, verse number 16 reads, Romans 7, verse number 10, and the commandments which were ordained to life are found to be unto death. Verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Verse 12, wherefore the law is righteous, the commandments righteous, just and good. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good.
So you might be a good person. Oh, I'm a good person. I got a plaque on the wall. I was great on my job, too. Yeah, but was you Bible good? Huh? That's what we want to know. So now, in the 41st chapter of the book of Psalms there, Elder, but if anybody got a problem with it, it talks about it in 41:21. It talks about what to do. If that can fit well with you, then 41:21 says what? This is what the angel came down and told old David. I mean, Isaiah and 41:21. Now, let's see what it says in 41:21 of Isaiah.
Look at Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse number 21, reads, produce your call, saith Yahweh, bring forth your strong reasoning, saith the King of Israel.
Hey, you can't say, if you say you're good, and you're not keeping the law, statutes, and commandments, then produce your call. Show me where you gonna get salvation at by not keeping Yahweh's laws, statutes, and commandments. Show it to me. He said, produce your call. Show me where 9 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock in the morning will get you salvation by the Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah. Show it to me. He said, produce your call. Hey, how many letters was the one said produce your call there in verse 21, yo?
4 letters, YHWH.
That was said, produce your call. We just a messenger. So if you say you good and you know you going to where you think you're going to get, you'll get eternal life, then show us in the Bible tells you to call it by another name. And remember one thing. English was not even thought about till 449 A.D. When John put his pen down in 96 A.D., the almighty story was told. And the language that was spoken to them was not English, and it wasn't Spanish. That's what he was speaking in? No. So produce your call. If you think you're going to get some salvation by calling on Lord God, Jesus, and Jehovah, then show it to me in the Bible. Where you want me to turn to? That's why the Spirit returning back to him, because the same people of old is back here today. Same wicked people are here today. The same good people are here today. The one that can keep the law, they're here today. He has Spirit in his hand. He put it back into that gene pool. That's why we know in Maccabees chapter 2, Elder. In the book of Maccabees chapter 2, and that's the red book, or if you got the regular 1611, you got it good. I know a big picture says, if I can't find out a 66 book, we don't need it. Well, see, that's why you going to be a midget, and everybody in your camp going to be a midget in the knowledge of Yahweh. Because you got to have 80 books. It's much more than them. Matter of fact, Enoch wrote over 300 some books. But that's another lesson. But Book of Maccabees, chapter 2, see, we know how this thing will unfold. You know why? You know why? What you mean? Why? Well, this is how we know why. Hey, in 119, verse 99 and 100 and 104, this is what we do know. We know Psalms 119, verse 99, 100, and 104. This is what we do know. What it says in Psalms 119, verse 99, 100, and 104. Hey, yo, what's that say?
The book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse number 100, 104, and verse number... The book of Psalms 119, verse 99, 100, and verse number 104. Psalms chapter 119, verse number 99 reads, "Have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy covenant are my meditation." Verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts." Verse number 104, "Through that precept I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way."
The reason why the Fifth Anointed camps no more than our ancients and more than your pastor today, because we keep the precepts. That's why we know more. See, the reason why we know more than your pastor, because we keep the precepts. And we know if you're not precepting, you're doing a what again and 104. Hey, yo, what did the angel tell David? If your preacher don't precept the Bible, what did he say in that 119, 104? What did he say?
Psalms 119, verse 104 reads, "To thy precept I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way."
See, if you don't precept your Bible, children of the book, 12 tribes of Israel, you're gonna be learning and passing down the false ways. You got to precept your Bible. If you don't, if the minister is standing before you, you're not precepting your Bible, it's a false way. This is what the angel said coming out of heaven. Do you know what he said about his angels in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, 32, 36, 37. Do you know what he said about his angels? Well, listen to what he said about his angels. When the angels bring a message down and you kick at that message, shout at that message, do you know he said something in Matthew 12, 31, 32, 36, 37. Hey, Elder, what did he say there that we can read there? Come on.
Book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse number 31, verse 32, verse 36, and verse 37 reads, Matthew 12, verse number 31, "Before I say unto you, all men of sin and blaspheming shall be forgiven unto men, but the blaspheming against the righteous spirit shall not be forgiven unto men." Verse 32, Whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him. Whosoever speaketh against the righteous spirit shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Verse 36, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Verse 37, "For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned."
So you see the man saying, so if the angels say something and you kick against what the angels say, so you already know, you might as well take out your handkerchief and just wipe your eyes with that preacher. When you show that preacher that even one man for salvation, did he get mad at you? You might as well take off your rag and wipe your eyes. Because let me in now, the angel is the one that told David what he said. And Almighty Son said, if you blaspheme against what the angel said, you ain't got nothing coming in this world all the world to come. You see that? All the world to come. See that? You say it? All the world to come. You're not going up to it. It's coming down to you. You see that? See, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and all that stuff will tell you about you going up in the way. No, no, no. He gets the world to come. The world gonna come down to you. You're not going up to it. That's why we come humble. To break down words, these dark sands that have been overlooked. You're not going up to it. He gonna bring it down to you because he made it plain. Yeah, he made it plain Latter-day Saints. Little committed boy say. Where he made it plain at? Well, he made it plain on these statements in the 14th chapter, verse 1 and 2 of St. John. He made it plain there, 14, verse 1 and 2. Then we can read in St. John chapter 14, 1 and 2. Let's see if we have the Latter-day Saints committed board out of Utah out. Come on.
The book of St. John chapter 14, verse number 1 and 2 reads, book of St. John 14, verse number 1. Let not your mind be troubled. You believe in Yahweh the Father, believe also in me. Verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. Verse number 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Hey, here's a man say, he said, I'm coming again. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again. And where I am, that where you're going to be at. Where I am, that where you're going to be at. I mean, when he come again, where he at, that where you going to be at. He's talking. Why your preachers don't understand this? Well, he here come again. He talking to people as they flat foot on the earth and say, I'm going to come again. And where I'm at, you going to be there too. But see, here's the game changer. But when you preach up your Bible, then you get a clear understanding that he told John in 1:17 through 19 in 4:1. See, he told John something that your preacher got to understand these things. He said, he looked John eyeball to eyeball and told him something. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 19, then slide over to verse of Revelation 1 and 2. He said something to us. Let's all see if we follow along what he said in Revelation 1, 17 through 19, and 4, 1 and 2. Hey, what is that?
The book of Revelation chapter 1, verse number 17 through 19 reads, Revelation 1, verse number 17. Book of Revelation 1, verse 17 reads, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Verse number 18. Am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Choir. And have the keys of hell and of death. Verse number 19. Like the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse number 1 and 2 reads. Revelation 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Verse number 2.
Go ahead.
Verse number 2. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
He said, once in the throne, told him, hey, come up here in the mind. I'm going to show you what's hereafter. He said, come up here in the mind. You know why he told him to come up in the mind? in the mind. He's told me hereafter. Because because in 3:13 of St. John, he made it plain, Mr. Preacher. You know what Preacher told me one time? He said, you know, see, I was laying on my deathbed and I got a testimony to say. He said, but my spirit came out of me and I got all the way up to heaven. And I said, you got that far up to heaven, why you come back to me? Your spirit got way up there. That's what he said. So he had a testimony how he left his body, out of body experience, and he went all the way up to heaven. I said, yeah, but if you got all the way up there, then why you come back? You got all the way up there. And I'm looking at the verse over here when the Almighty Son says in first, what, give me 1 verse 2 there, yo. Before you read that, I'm looking at what Paul told Titus. He's telling something in 1 verse 2. What are you telling him in 1 verse 2 there, yo?
The book of Titus, chapter 1, verse number 2 reads, "In hope of eternal life, which Yahweh, that cannot lie, promise before the world began."
He says, so Yahweh is not lying that he promised before the world began. He's not lying. He said, now, if you want eternal life, you got to quit lying. That's what he said. You got to stop that lying. Now, you had an out-of-body experience, and you got all the way up there, even at the FEMA. Don't worry about Auntie Willamette and Uncle Leroy Peterson, because they already up there. Oop, and they told me they don't made it. You better get y'all set right. But then I'm sitting there looking, I'm looking at this book, and I watch everybody who pages this book. So I'm looking at that book, what we just said again, Al? St. John 3:13. I'm looking at 3:13 while they were talking, Al. And what happened?
Look at St. John 3. Verse number 13 reads, St. John 3, verse 13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven."
I'm looking at, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but the one that came down from heaven. And then I'm looking at your preacher telling me that my loved ones now have made it. What word they use, what they have made, it'll help me out, yo. You know, still struggling right now with the King's language. What did he say? They are made to what again now, yo?
To heaven.
No, they'll make something in between that. They'll make the transition. I'm gonna get more calls on see if he said that wrong. They'll make the
homegoing.
Okay, we leave it like this. Yeah, They'll make their home going. You see that? They'll make their home going. Now he just said how many men and that covers women too. Titus 1:2 say, in hope of eternal life, he told Timothy and Titus this, that the Son is not lying. So when you read some of his Bible, he ain't lying. What did he say when he was on the face of the earth in 3:13? Hey, what did he say in 3:13?
The book of St. John 3, verse number 13 reads, "And no man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, he was the Son of Man, which is in heaven."
Now you see that? Now look at the Roman Catholic Church out of New York. See, you got the precept there. Okay, so no man has went to heaven. Ella, you want to take a little shot at that loose change right there? Give him a precept on that. You want to take that loose change there? You want to take care of the Roman Catholic Church out of New York? Give him a little loose change.
Yeah, I take a peek.
All right.
Let me see. Let
me let our hell take a little, take a little shot at that loose change. You know, people, like I said, we come humble. In 59 verse 4, the 59 accounts, we come humble. And we didn't, you see, we didn't take it away from you. But we try to restore back to you to at least think about if you follow the Bible, you're going to get what you got coming. As long as you follow the champion, with the early part of the lesson, we talked about the champion, and we read about the champion. What's going to happen to the champion? What did happen to the champion in the early part of the lesson? But hold that point, Hill. Before we read what happened, you put a mark on that. So now, I'm going to tell you something. We read about the champion. The champion is the world today. And we read about what happened to the champion in the early part of the lesson. So that those that missed the beginning of the broadcast, then go back after the broadcast over and get the part we talk about the champion. But this is what taking a champion down in 1 Samuel 17:45-40. This is what took the champion down then, and this is what's going to take the champion down today. Now, David's going to tell you how you take the champion down in 1 Samuel 17:45-47. Now, this is how you take the champion down today. What is that, Al?
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse number 45 to 47 reads. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistines, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Verse 46. "This day will Yahweh deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. Take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the earth, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a Yahweh in Israel." Verse 47. "Now all this assembly shall know that Yahweh saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is Yahweh's, and he will give you into our hands."
You hear that? Yeah, I mean, you know, if you don't get happy for that, that's up to you. See, we already know if you got your mighty one right, he don't have you right. Oh, it might be, you know, they might do a lot of things. They might have you driving cars, doing everything. They might have you doing everything, but don't worry about that. If Yahweh made it plain to you, he made it plain in Psalm 2:10 again. I got to hear that again, Elder. See, he made it plain when they bring back the evil worldly report concerning you. But we know what the angel came down and told the rock and 2:10. We plain what he said. What did he say, Elder?
Book of Sirach. Chapter 2, verse number 10 reads, "Because the generations of old and see, did there was any trust in Yahweh and was confounded? Or did any abide in his fear and was forsaken? Or whom did he ever despise upon him?"
He said, "Search the record. Show me anywhere from the time of Adam 4004 to the closing of the book of 96 A.D. Show me when you had me right, that's what you say, that I didn't get you right. Oh, it's going to be to get to where you got to get to. It's not going to be no Teflon trade wall according to Sacramento 7-1. Hey, let me show you something. Listen, he's spirit lady from Matthew 10:19. And Luke 12:12. So we don't know where they're going. So we know we're on tape 118. But those got ear to hear that's making up the tape and listen to me. Listen to the lesson. Whatever the spirit that Almighty put on you about that lesson, then put the label on that lesson. You know, because we know we be kick and stay there because we might be going to go one way, but all of a sudden, let me give you a case in point. In the book of Acts, King Nail, now watch this. Here's a case in point. Acts 16. In the book of Acts 16, Nail, let's see what it says in verse 5. Let's read down to get our point. We're going to Acts 16, verse. Listen to real good what we're saying. But before you read Acts 16, 5 down to verse number 9, read our mission in Luke. That's why I say you gotta be studied up. You can't pick this up at a drop of a hat until you keep up the old city. You gotta be like the old Israel or Yada Israel. You gotta be a been in that book a little bit. That was left we called yesterday, the bottom part of the Saturday. You just can't pick this down. You'll be all over the place. Trying to hang out. No, that's why we tell you have 5 markers. You gotta have some markers. So we'd be pumping this Bible out. Spirit led me up what? So now in Luke 24, we won't look at a verse in 32. So we do, we come on a broadcast or whenever we come in contact with the 6 anointed camps and verse number 45. This is what we do, and listen to Captain what we do. Luke 24, 32, and 45. What is that there?
Book of Luke, chapter 24, verse number 32, verse number 45 reads, Luke, chapter 24, verse number 32 reads, they said one to another, did not our mind burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures, verse 45, then obey their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
Hey, you see what we do? We come on a broadcast to open up your mind by giving you not where we going, not where we been. Huh? We open up to you the scriptures. We make your mind burn. But then you start thinking about that old preacher. Now, I've been going to this establishment for 20, 30 years. And that preacher sits there and been taking my tithes through it off in donations, and didn't even tell me that I'm calling on the wrong name. Now, when the scriptures open up, we found out that the chief speaker of the nation of Israel saying, but one man with your salvation. Now, Mr. Preacher, I'm giving you my tithes, free will off my donations, and my tithes. Why didn't you tell me that Abel, 4 letters according to the Bible is going to get you salvation? And you got me calling on a man called Jehovah. Jehovah is a watered-down word for the 4 letters. And you know they're going to get me going to the bottom of the lake of fire, but you will be in there for me. Why? Why can't we call him the right name, Mr. Preacher? I mean, well, I'm going to pay you my tithes, leave off my donations and my tithes. Why can't we call him the right on the true name, the 4 letters, YHWH? Why can't we do that? Ain't going there and get the salvation. Yeah. But no, you see, our job is to make your mind burn by opening up to you the scripture. That's what we come on the broadcast to do, 6 times a week. Now, I'm always ready to go. I'm going to be, but what have we done today? Tomorrow I'm ready to go for some more. You see? Because, what is one of in the book of Jasper, 23, 40 to 47, see, I'm going to say something. You got to have the total package in Yahuwah. Because we know one day it's going to be big food, land, banquet hall, radio station, all. And we know the game sales is on the sideline right now. But in them 4 letters, they all going down. Understand that. Never leave out with that your 4 letter name. Because that's the game change down to everything. When you drop that 4 letter down, I tell you what, if you want to find out your preacher's a devil, you just say, Yahuwah. What you say? YHWH. What you say? To that. And you find out that that's the devil. Because when that man come out, they get very excited. You know why? The devil and them come out. We got one. Well, we call him Jesus. Well, there wasn't no J until the 1700s, at the 15th at the most. He told John in 1:17-19:41, right to hereafter. And when John put his pen down in 96 A.D., his story was told. We know English wasn't thought about till 449 A.D. It became official language in 1382. So where you get the Jesus from? Huh? And we clear that when the Almighty Son was, it was written exactly what was going on in 19 verse 20 of St. A.L. What was going on in St. John 19 verse 20? Or 20 verse 19? What was going on when the eyewitness was there? What did they wrote in 20 verse 19? St. John 20 19. What did they write it up?
The book of St. John 20 verse number 19 reads, "Then the same day that at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of Yahdah Judah, came Yahweh the Son and stood in the midst, said unto them, Shalom be unto you."
Uh-huh. He said, "Yahweh be with them." That's good. But that bag them give me 90. He said, "Yay." So it came at first day of the week. That man gonna take us another direction up there too. But what happened in 19 verse 20 up?
Book of St. John 19, verse number 20 reads, St. John 19, verse 20. "This title then read many of Yahdah Judah, southern kingdom, for the place where Yahweh the Son was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in the Shemitic, Hebrew tongue, and in Greek, and in Latin."
No, it wasn't nothing written. It wasn't nothing written in English. It wasn't nothing written in expanded. No, now what I'm telling you didn't even exist. English or expanded didn't even exist. No. Not any existing at the time. There was nobody speaking Spanish back then. Because Spanish comes from the Latin language. There was nobody speaking English back then. Now look at the big diggers here, and then they won't play a little music behind that. Well, you need to play some music behind that. It wasn't, nobody was speaking the language that you all, you hook, line, and sink on now. Jesus and Spanish and English. Them is a bastard language that was imposed on you. English was imposed on us, and a Spanish was imposed on them. Them bastard languages. They're not the language that they're speaking in the Bible. They know nothing about it. They were given to us. We were beaten to them languages. English and Spanish were beaten to the 12 tribes of Israel. Give me a bastard language. Well, why do you use the word called bastard? Well, because it's in the Bible. Well, where is it? Let's go to Hebrews 12, verse 4. Let me show you that nothing we saying that is not in the Bible. But I'm going to give you a definition of a bastard so you can be clear about what is a definition of a bastard. I said English and Spanish is a bastard language. Now we're going to the 12th chapter, verse 4 of Hebrews, and we're going to read down and let Paul, that was raised from the womb, and Galatians 1:15-16, explain to you the definition of a bastard. It is real. Finger verse 12, verse 4, read with them.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse number 4 reads, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Verse number 5, "You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Verse 6, for whom the Yahweh loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. Verse number 7, if you endure chastening, Yahweh dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Verse number 8, but if you be without chastisement, where all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons.
Yeah. Now, all your life, all my life, I was told by the preachers that a bastard means a woman or had a son without being married. Look at that old bastard girl, that baby. And we thought that was a bastard mean. But then when we found it, got in the Bible, and found out a bastard means, what again, what is the Bible definition of a bastard again?
The book of Hebrews 12, verse number 8 reads, but if you be without chastisement, where all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons.
All my life I thought a bastard was a young lady, an old lady got a baby without going down to City Hall, you see. No, that's not a definition of a bastard. A bastard is those that would not take correction. A bastard would look at the truth and pay it no never mind. A bastard, when you tell a bastard that, hey, his name only carries four letters according to the Bible, the name 688. And then they get mad at you because they got 7, 8, 9, 10 names and letters in the name. So now you know what a first-class bastard is. A first-class bastard is when you look and read what the Bible's saying, and they tell you, no, don't pay that, no, never mind, that's done away with. Now you know what a bastard is according to the Bible. Look at WCC saying, well, what do a bastard supposed to do? Well, according to Acts 3:19, it's really what a bastard's supposed to do. Once you find out that you are incorrect in with your approach in the Bible, then what's open for you to do is Acts 3:19. Hey, yo, what's open for you to do in Acts 3:19?
Book of Acts chapter 3, verse number 19 reads, Acts 3, verse 19, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of Yahweh.
He said what's open for you is to repent. When you found out that you've been taught wrong and everything you thought was in the book was one way and it's not so, he's up to you to repent. Time of the refreshing comes. And we might be probably there tomorrow in the vision of Paul 44, we're going to do it today. And he's going to say something to you. Why didn't you receive the correction before the refreshment comes? <Say nothing. laughs> He got written in the vision of Paul 44 about who is the refreshment until he comes. It's up to you. Now, only one on record. It's not going to repent. See, y'all going to say something now. Is somebody on record not going to repent? And in the 12th chapter, we might as well just let you hear. I mean, they're not going to repent. We're going to 12th chapter and look at verse 16 and 17 of the book of Hebrews. Huh? I mean, listen. We come humble, but it is a race of people that as, it will be some individuals that do so, but as a body, it's not going to repent. And we might want to read it. 12, 16, and 17. Let's find what we're talking about. Hebrews 12, 16,
book of
17. We're talking about
the book of Hebrews 12, verse verse number 16 to 17 reads, Hebrews 12, verse number 16, if there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright, verse 17, for you know how that afterwards when he would have inherited the blessing, rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Oh, he was that big preacher name. He'll pass now. Jimmy Swiper. He'll cry for stone. Whoa, I've done so bad wrong. But then you go back and do it again. So, you got some preachers that then you come cry for stone. Okay, Mr. Preacher, when you get through crying, you're going to make a question on what day to worship on or not. Once you get through bumping your gums and crying, is you going to make a correction, and all one in the Bible is not going to repent. Although they thought it carefully with tears, they not going to repent. So if you're in a ministry where when you show the truth, and they just ain't going to repent, but they're going to cry for storm, and they might have you feel that you're guilty. Now, the champion is not going to repent. Read that again, Elder. Let's read about the champion again. Now, we're in Hebrews 12, 16, 17. This is the champion. Let's see what the champion going to do again. 16, 17.
Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 16 and verse 17 reads. Verse number 16. If there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Yeah. So now we clear if a group of people from the sin of Esau, they're not going to repent. They're going to take their lion all the way into the fire. And guess what? They're going to take you to the fire too. But Yahweh raised up Peter in the book of Acts chapter 2. He raised up Peter. And he told Peter, teach bigger nation of Israel. So we know who not going to repent. We clear about who not going to repent, right? Right. So now we want to look at the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. He was on the clock in the second chapter, Elder. And his mission was to stand before the children of the book, the children of Israel. And he was bold enough to talk, just stand before them. And he said something to them. And let's see what he says in verse number 29. Now, he's going to address the people of the book. Let's listen to this conversation. Let's see what did they do. And we might ask you a question, what you going to do? Verse 29 is read a little bit. 229.
The book of Acts.
Chapter 2, verse 29. Is that what I want?
Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 29 reads.
Hold on, you're right. Give them another verse number of 36. You're right, Hill. Thank you. You know, they say, hold on, Sia. Now, wait a minute, Sia. Now, you don't be all over the place now, Sia. Pick up at verse 36. You're right, Hill. Let's read a little bit from 36 down a little bit.
The book of Acts chapter 2, verse number 36 reads, therefore let all the family of Israel know surely that Yahweh have made that same Yahweh the Son whom you have crucified, both Yahweh and the Anointed. Verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their mind and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Yahweh the Son, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the righteous spirit. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh, our Yahweh shall call. Verse 40. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation.
He's right. Until they got quit. See, when they found out they was wrong, when they was calling on more than one name, keeping the wrong name, everything wrong, see, they were thinking of mine. Then they asked Peter, hey, Peter, what can we do? You tell me you got to repent. You got to put it down. You got to put that Lord God and Jesus down. You got to put that hog down. You got to leave the hog alone. Don't you see you got high blood pressure, diabetes, sugar, you always got to feed, dive, cook. Ain't you tired of all these cancer cells in your body? You got to leave that. You got to leave the king's meat alone. You wasn't given the king's meat will alter your appearance from the inside. You got to put the king's meat down. Do you know what he said in the book of Daniel about the king's meat? See, I'm telling you something. The king's meat is the reason why the children of Israel is in the condition they're in now. Not only in the body, in the mind too. Because you love the king's meat. And it was a demonstration done about the king's meat in Daniel chapter 1, it was an illustration done about the king's meat. And you have to have it under consideration when you watch your elderly always, always jacked up in somebody's hospital. Always tubes running about. Always something going on. Because the king's meat. You got to put the king's meat down. And the book of Daniel, Elder, let's find out something in verse 2. Let's read a little bit till we get our point. We'll read a little bit, then let's skip a little bit. Let's go dang it. See, listen, you want to take Doc Cook off your feed dial. Then you have to understand something. Your mind got to burn to the scripture, and you got to repent. Huh? So you always going to have Doc Cook in your life. You ain't got to have Doc Cook in your life. Let's see what's going on in Daniel chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read a little bit, Elder.
Book of Daniel chapter 1, verse number 2 reads, Yahweh gave Jehoiakim, king of Yahweh Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessel of the temple of Yahweh, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the temple of his false Yahweh. He brought the vessel into the treasure temple of his Yahweh. Verse number 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuch, that he should bring certain of the family of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Verse number 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. Verse number 5. The king appointed them a daily portion of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Verse number 6. Now among these were of the family of Yahweh Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse number 7. To whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, they gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, Hananiah of Shadrach, Mishael of Meshach, to Azariah of Abednego. Verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his mind that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, or with the wine which he drank, and for he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Number 9. And Yahweh had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Verse 10. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my Yahweh, the king, who have appointed you meat and your drink. But why should he see your faces worse, like than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Verse number 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Verse 12. Prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Verse 13. Then let our countenance be looked upon before the king, before me, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servant. Verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter, and put them 10 days. Verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, the countenance appeared fair and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Verse 16. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Verse 17.
Yeah. That's good. That's good, yo. So you see, now what do you mean by pulse, fruit, and vegetable? That was the game. That was Daniel, man. They need the king's meat. Did you hear what Daniel said about when you need the king's meat? What did Daniel say about the king's meat in verse number 8? What did Daniel say about the king's meat? The king's meat. What did he say about the king's meat there, Elder?
The book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his mind that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat.
You hear it?
Nor with the wine which he drank, for he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself.
He said, drink. When you're eating the king's meat, you're defiling yourself. Did you understand that thing, right? Do you know what he called you? You know what they called you? You know what they call you today? African American, Negro, and colored, and Spanish, Puerto Rican, and Latinos, right? But look what the big dignitaries call you, number 3. Look what they call you. I mean, you mean your preacher won't tell you this? Look what they call you when the Bible opens, verse 3.
Book of Daniel 1, verse number 3. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, he should bring certain of the children, family of Israel, and of the king's seed.
Hey, he had the man call you. You've been told all your life you ain't nothing. You just came over here with no clothes on, you jumped in the boat, and then you just, they had to teach you how to read before you came over here. You was the king's seed. Why didn't they never tell you you was the king's seed? That's where you are, children of Israel. You from the bloodline of the king's seed. You see that seed? So you see why we got to come humble and we don't know what we're going to teach on. It's out of the point of where we here. That's what we see. I could read Micaiah saying the same thing. He said, no, he said, look big there. Only what I hear from Yahweh is what I'm going to see. That same thing I'm fixing on the camp. That's why this ministry, it got to explode. Because this is the ministry going to get you back to go back and look in your Bible again and examine what that preacher told you. Huh? You got to examine you going up in the way. And knowing he told John to write the hereafter. And what did he write in Revelation 21, 1 down to verse 3? And 10 through 12. He said, your preacher will have to stand up and come clean. Make that preacher come clean. Huh? Make him come clean. How you got my grandmama up and away in the heavens? And I'm reading what John writing here after in the 21st chapter 1, 2, 3, and 10 down to verse 12. Now, why you can't talk about this, Mr. Preacher? What is there in Revelation 21? 1 down to verse 3, 10 down to verse 12. What is there else?
Book of Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1, 2, and verse number 3. Verse number 10 through 12 reads, Book of Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1 reads, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. There was no more sea. Verse number 2, I saw the righteous city, Yahweh Judah, Israel, coming down from Yahweh the Father out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse number 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven said, Behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his Yahweh himself shall be with them and be their Yahweh. Verse number 10 reads, Revelation 21, verse 10. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the righteous Yahweh Judah, Israel, descending out of heaven from Yahweh the Father. Verse 11, having the greatness of Yahweh, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 12, it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. At the gate 12 minister spirits, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the family of Israel.
Now, can I say anything on that? Now, where is the gate for the Christians? Where are the gate for the Muslims? Where are the gate for Islam, Jehovah? Where is the gate at? So what, John's writing it here after. So where's the Christian's gate at? It ain't no Christian's gate. That's what John tell you, see, right? It ain't no Islamic gate. It ain't no Judaism gate. John writing it here after. The 12 gates is the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the one gonna be in power. And if you won't come up under the ball of the 12 tribes of Israel, you gotta do right. It's my thing you got to do. But what if you gave for the Christian there? You know, your Christian, he beat you on the head. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Well, what a Christian at when the new heavens were passed away and I saw the righteous city coming down? Huh? Coming down? But your preacher said, you going up. That means if he's coming down, and you going up, you going to miss it. You see what you need? See what you need with Christianity? You going up and it coming down. And the gate was, and the 12, and the gate was before the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why they mess you up, see, lawyer. Do you know in Psalms 83, we read down to get our point. Do you know the angel came out of heaven? This is what the angel said. He came out of heaven, looked David eyeball to eyeball, and said something to David. Listen to the conversation he said to you. And remember, every nation on the left side of the book is here today, but they're up under another name. But they can't hide themselves from the six anointed camp. We know where you are. We know who everybody's at by looking at this book and watching your actions. We know what you are. Huh? We know what you are. By watching you from the pages of this book. That's how we watch you. From this book. And we know what he says about you. And we know you're not going to repent, Esau and you, in the fire of tongues. And you want buck head of bottle. And you want to take all my loved ones with you. Because they ain't going to repent. they will continue to do contrary to this sight. Listen, when the angel came out of heaven and looked David, the king of Israel, or all or the whole 12 tribes of Israel, eyeball to eyeball, he told me, put this in the book. Ain't nobody going to touch it but the six anointed count of Boston of the Israelites. But just put it in there anyway. 83 verse 1, let's read a little bit.
The book of Psalms, chapter 83, verse number 1 reads, Psalms 83, verse number 1. Keep not thy silence, O Yahuwah. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O Yahuwah. Verse number 2. Below thine enemy, make a turmoil. They that hate you have lifted up their head. Verse number 3. They have taken crafty counsel against your people. Consulted against your hidden ones. Verse number 4. Yes, sir. Come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Verse number 5. For they are consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against you. Verse number 8. Number 6. The tabernacle, the family of Esau, and the Ishmaelites.
That's all we need. We need just the top two nations. Now, who are the top two nations? They have cut you off from being a nation. Let the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. Because all the other nations are going to follow these top two nations. Who are the top two nations that have cut you off? They love to hear you say, well, I'm Christian. I'm Muslim. They love that. But who love it? Top two with their name. Come on, help.
The family of Esau and the Ishmaelites.
You see that? You see that? That's the top two nations. The top two nations is the one that cut you off from being a nation. That the name that he gave you was a blessed name. Will be no more in your remembrance. You will never talk about nationhood. All you will talk about, I got mine, you get yours or not. The top two nations got through that way, Steve, right? You know who Esau is today? All you got to do, well, they'll tell you, well, no, Esau done away with it. He don't exist no more. So we read over there in 416, everybody here then, they here now. But they'll tell you they don't hear no more. But then we go read in the Bible, in the book of Ezra, second book of Ezra, chapter 6, verse 9, second year 6, verse 9, and it tells us something different. See, you know, you listen to a preacher just bump their gum, but why don't you make them go in the Bible and read you some stuff out of this Bible and make it some sense out of the Bible. Because over here in 2 Maccabees 6, verse 9, it tells me a total different story. What do you say? 6, verse 9, yo.
2 Maccabees.
Yeah. Yeah, 6, verse 9.
The book of 2 Maccabees 6, verse number 9 reads, 2 Maccabees 6, verse number 9. And whosoever, when I conform themselves to the manner of the Gentiles, five sons of Esau, should be put to death, then might a man have seen the present miseries.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute, El. Now what I'm looking for is, I'm looking for, try attacking Israel. 6 verse 9. I'm looking for when you talk about somebody is the end of something and somebody is the beginning of something. I don't want to kind of telegraph it all the way. I'm going to doze in the book to kind of take a look at it. But I'm struggling right now, you know, but I need to hear a little bit more about someone say they sent a man from Ephesus. They sent an old man down that way. They sent an old man to get on down there and jack up Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. So you got enough to work with, Elder? Yeah, I know what you're looking for.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. See, I want to keep everybody kept in the ball spot in the head, and then they got to stay in that book. See, you know, you go to the, and all you got to do, the preacher, he grab one verse, and everybody be all excited to get one verse, and the preacher close the book and go into his sin, and you love to have it so. He'll read you one verse. Well, my text is going to be on one verse. Now, he left around and do two verses. Boy, he going to pass that pot around three more times. You see what he do? And you love to have it so. You go to hell, and the preacher reads one verse to you. Then close the book, then put a hat. And you love to have it so. But you didn't know he says about that in Jeremiah chapter 2 about that. You know, see, but I'm telling you something. You don't have to watch these preachers because he told Jeremiah to write about that, you know. And in the book of Jeremiah, second chapter, maybe the fifth chapter, You was raised from the womb, Jeremiah. Put it in right. Although you don't get hit in the mouth 4 or 5 times, Jeremiah, you got that comfort. You know why? Let me say in verse number 11. We're going to Jeremiah 5:11. See, you understand something? You're not gonna be well liked when you make them get in this book. Now, if you might tell them, y'all coming to visit me today? Well, we gonna have a Bible study today. We're going to read some Bible. I thought we just going to talk. No, we're going to read some Bible. We're going to precept some Bible. You're not going to be way to like it. And your telephone ain't going to ring as much as you wanted to ring after that meeting. So we thought we just going to backbite and murmur and complain. Jeremiah 5:11. Hey, yo, what it says in 5:11? Just get warmed up.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse number 11 reads, "For the family of Israel and the family of Yahdah Judah had dealt very treacherously against me, save Yahuwah."
You man said, he said, y'all do treacherous against him. You see that? See, Adam. Ball ring is a spear. You know what I can do for you, spear? I'd like to take your head and put it in on my arm and run into that tree. Why you want to take my head and run into the tree? All we doing is turn the Bible saying. You see? He said, you know, y'all just, you know, and y'all easily bribed. You easily want to get that 30 pieces of silver. I'd believe him up. How much you gonna pay me to live him up? You know, you got that spirit on you. Do you know when you deliver up the anointing of Yahweh, anybody anointed, do you know he'll put the fear of the night on you? Fear of the night gonna be on you forever. And that same 30 piece of silver you got for delivering up Yahweh's anointed people, gonna keep you. Don't kill you for it. You're like Judah did. You know what Judah say? He said to the big digger, Jerry, what can I do to betrayal of Yahuwah the son? How much y'all covet with me? He said, we'll cover with you with 30 pieces of silver. You gonna bring me some dirt on him so we can deliver him up? Or we can do some damage to him? Yeah. See? You know, you got, let me give you a verse on that. See, when somebody bring you something, when somebody bring you something about somebody else, see, you know what the Bible is telling you what to do in the 9th chapter? When somebody volunteer and bring you something, do you know it's written in the Bible with you, how you going to respond to it? In the 9th chapter there, you know? So it's going to have, before somebody bring you something, and You ain't gonna talk about me, you're gonna talk about somebody else, huh? So in the 9th chapter, hey yo, I'm struggling right now, yo. In St. John chapter 9, can you help the national audience out of what I'm looking for in the 9th chapter of the book of, I'm struggling right now. But when it comes to pass to you, you don't have to understand something. You got to take a deep breath, and you got to do the 9:23. Here's what you got to do. When somebody bring you something, it's going to happen. Especially if you're on the right track of some dust and light, dummies. What are you supposed to do in 9:23 of St. John? Look what he says here. What does he say, yo?
The book of St. John 9:23 reads, therefore said his parents, he is of age. Ask him.
You see that? That's what people do. When somebody try to sneak up to you and ask you about somebody, well, man, they of age, won't you ask them? Don't you got to smell a rat. You got to know when a betrayal is coming close by you, which going to come. When they come and want to talk to you about somebody else, and they might cover with you. I'll give you 30 pieces of silver if you tell me about somebody else. That's a rat. And if you do take the money, do you know what Yahweh is going to do for you in the Songs of Solomon? Let me tell you what Yahweh is going to do for you. Go and take the 30 pieces of silver. Let me tell you what Yahweh got rid of, what he's going to do for you. Tell me out the hell. In the book of Songs of Solomon, see, the Bible, this is the greatest piece of literature it is, and when you know when you anoint it, because you get these pulling sisters out everywhere. You know, they say, you know, the African-American Negro, you can't keep the kitchen no more than kitchen fans 5 minutes to 15 at the most. This broadcast is 3 hours plus. And they pack in on the international side, And when they get to hearing this word, they start thinking about that old preacher, all that money that I don't get. In the Songs of Solomon, I'm struggling now, but I'm looking for the Songs of Solomon, yo. And it's something I want what Yahweh would do to you when you know David. See, David, he was running away from the Benjamite. But Solomon ran himself till he got sleepy. He fell out. And then David's men say, hey, can I can go over and smite him. No, you don't smite his anointed one. No, don't do that. Yahweh put him there, Yahweh take him out. He said, David, I tell you what to do, go over there and cut his garment off and take his shelf off him. And bring his sword back and bring everything back while he's laying there sleeping. His guards over there, everybody kicking his shit out. Bring all that back to me. Give him a call over to him. He said, he's a big king. So, he said, that you, David? He said, yeah. He said, the bodyguards you got around you ain't worth two dead flies. He said, where your shelf and where your sword and your fringes and your garments, where they at? So I'm reaching for his shelf. He said, God, dog. He said, David, I could have killed you, Saul, but you've been anointed from Yahweh. I'm not going to do it. Yahweh's going to take care of you. That's the point we try to make. When Yahweh is tired of those fear, he's going to get the fear out. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to be caught up trying to had a fear of stealing cars and buying houses and doing all that wicked stuff. No. You ain't got to put out a bad slander on the field. When Yahweh is ready for the field to get out of the way, he gonna do it. Ain't no weapon form against the field gonna prosper or get anybody knowing that Yahweh is gonna stand. Because you can accusate all you want, it's gonna come to nothing. Because Yahweh gonna put on you by receiving that wicked money, he'll put some on you. And the reason why you're going to put on you, hey, I'm kind of struggling right now. But what is he going to put on him, Elder, that we can read? He's going to put something like he put on, we told Solomon. He told old Solomon, he said, wait, I told you leave them women alone. Now, what you need with 300 wives, 700 concubines, what do you need with all that? Now, what do you need all that? Why don't you leave them other nations alone? You hear me? So Yahweh put them on him, Elder. Can you also see out what he put on him that we can read? Should I do a Daniel 2:16? He put some on him, Elder. Now, I can come back with it tomorrow, but I don't mind getting it tonight. What did he put on him, Elder, that we can read? Huh? What did he put on?
I haven't laid my eyes on it.
He put some on him, Elder. He put some on him, you know, on old King Solomon. He put something on him that we can read. But I'm struggling right now on what he put on Solomon. He put some on it. And guess what? And when you don't do it right, you might get the 30 pieces of silver. Some on you that we can read. And you see, I'm keep talking until I get up on it. But right now, I'm struggling right now to find out what he's gonna put on you. I ain't gonna tell you about it. I'll tell you about it tomorrow. That's what I do. Cause we want to broadcast tomorrow at 6 o'clock, and when we'll tell you about it, what he'll put on you. I'll let the elder go step those feet out and let him know what he'll put on you when you receive. You know. I'll give you this money if you deliver him up to me. You can't deliver the seal of nobody anointed up until Yahweh wants him to be delivered up. So, and you keep that in your mind. So I'll tell you what, give me Daniel 2:16 on that elbow. We ain't worry about it. We just said it to you in Daniel 2:16.
What is it? Book of Daniel 2, verse number 16, read. Book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse number 16, read. Daniel 2, verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation.
I'll come back with the mom. I come back what happened when you try to go out your way to lie on somebody anointed from Yahweh. We come back tomorrow and let you know exactly what he's going to put on you. We need to come back tomorrow. So we be on airways tomorrow. Now we're not going to be on airways Tuesday, back on Wednesday. But we're not going to telegraph it what it is to look at WTC. Why we got to wait? Well, why don't you tell me that? Why don't you tell me then? You ain't got to wait. See, so, but, come back and give me that verse in that Daniel 1 verse 10. I want to come back to Daniel 1 verse 10. I want to pick up one more thing in Daniel 1 verse 10.
Book of Daniel chapter 1, verse number 10 reads. Book of Daniel chapter 1, verse number 10 reads. And the prince of the eunuch said unto Daniel, I fear my Yahweh the king, have appointed your meat, your drink. But why should he see your face is worse, likened than the children which are of your soil? This shall you make me in danger, my head to the king.
You see, the children of your soil. See, the children of Israel, they was of your soil. See, that's the talk. See, the children of Israel, they are a different brand of people. They're different from the other people. I don't always have the same color like Lot brought your me. Hey, brother, why don't you come together on our color? Man, color ain't got nothing to do with it. No, you come together according to the covenant of the Bible. That's what you come together for. You got to be with the Bible. Your color. See, the color is the one going to deliver you up. The color one, they're going to come in and ask you, since you're close to him, why don't you cover with me and deliver him up to me? See that? So, no, it ain't got to do with your color. No, it ain't about a color thing at all. It's about a covenant. A covenant will give your people to keep, and they made a final statement about the covenant. Do you know what they say about the covenant to Moses? Hey, what they say in 19 chapter verse 3 and 7 and 8 of Exodus. See, this ain't about no color. What, you know, no. Listen what we're saying here. And we're going to preach up that. Ain't about no color. No. I'm not anti-anybody. I'm just pro 12 tribes of Israel. Do you know what we're saying in Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 and 7 and 8? What was that, Hill?
The book of Exodus chapter 19, verse number 3, verse number 17, verse number 7, and verse number 8 reads. Book of Exodus chapter 19, verse number 3 reads. And Moses went up unto Yahweh, and Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the family of Jacob, and tell the children, family of Israel. Verse number 7. Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and lay before their faces all these words which Yahweh commanded him. Verse number 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yahweh.
You see that? So he told Moses, go tell the children of Israel not to do right. And then they respond to Moses, all that Yahweh said, we're going to do. You see what they said? So you see, you know what that was when you said that? A precept that to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel 26 down to verse 28. Do you know what happened now? Your forefathers and mother said, hey, Moses, all that the almighty four-letter man say, we going to do it. You see what they say? So you was locked in by the mouth. Look what he says in Ezekiel 37, 26 down to verse 28. What did he say here?
Book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse number 26 through 28 reads. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, verse number 26 reads, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them, multiply them, will set my temple in the midst of them forevermore. Verse 27, my temple also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. Verse 28, and the nations, heathen shall know how Yahweh do sanctify Israel, for my temple shall be in the midst of them forevermore.
Now you see the level that you have to be when you really want to throw out and look. Some big time reading, they still get more than that. See, that was John say. See, you can't pick this up when you get ready. You can't be just no, you got to be a anointed reader. You got to know how to bring this thing. Bring that stuff out. Because you keep bringing that stuff out, more precepts will come. But if you somewhere laid back, reading like it's a novel, God tell you, raise your voice up and say stuff. You got to know how to bring this book out. This is a great piece of literature to hear. This can't even tell it. And you're going to have cop reading about it. You read like it's a novel? No. You got to have some case. You got to bring this thing out. But this is right here. This is what you got to do. No. And let me start. I got to preach up on that hill. That was. He said, this covenant is to them. still. You hear the devil kept on bringing out? So now a priest will come back to you. Joel 2:27, 28, and 32. See, that's when the precepts are coming to your preacher. Key words will come out. I'm going to make a covenant with them. Who is the them? That's what you want to know. We're going to precept to Joel 2:27, 28, and 32. Listen good.
The book of Joel chapter 2, verse number 27, verse 28. And verse number 32 reads, Book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 27 reads, And you shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel, that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Verse 28, And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your son and your daughter shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream. Your young men shall see visions. Verse 32. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in the mount of Yahweh Judah and in Israel shall be delivered, as Yahweh have said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call.
Now look at that. So now, by him reading it right like that, I'm just going for overkill on it. He let you know who he in the midst of. He in the midst of a people called Israel. He said, I'm your Yahweh and none else. See, a Christian ain't gonna never read that. A Christian Islamic Judaism would never read that verse. He ain't gonna make it plain. He'll run through it like a thief in the night. Now see, we're going to pause on that and get some more precept out of there. Let's go to Isaiah 59. And he's going to tell you something. Well, you know it or not, he's going to tell you some good stuff in verse 19 down to verse 21. Hey, yo, you're going to make it plain, and we're going to make it plain to you. We're going to make your mind burn. You understand something? Your preaching will have to change. Your preacher will have to come clean. You want to come clean? I mean, if you see the mother of the church in a slip hanging, you say, Mother, your slip hanging? You thank you, baby. You pull a slip up, right? That's how you get about the truth of the Bible. Well, if they find out that they've been teaching wrong, and you show them that you look according to the Bible, you've been teaching wrong here. But the right says, they're supposed to correct that thing. Because he still wants salvation for himself and for you. All the time you're playing with him? Huh? Look what it says in Isaiah 59:19
down to
verse 21.
The book of Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 19 through 21 reads. Isaiah 59, verse number 19 reads. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, his greatness from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. Verse 20. And the Redeemer shall come to Yahweh Judah. Now to them that turn from transgression in Israel, save Yahweh. Verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, save Yahweh. My spirit that is upon you, and my word which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, out of the mouth of your seed, out of the mouth of your seed, save Yahweh, from henceforth and forever.
You know, we all just play music the rest of the night. But now, you see how your job can be so easy when you read the book right. And you know, if I add anything to the way he broke it down, it's like an overkill. You know? It's just like you take your baby, the grandbaby, to the babysitter. You say, now, babysitter, if my grandbaby acts up anyway, you got permission to spank a little bottom, you know, spank a bottom so she can do right. You tell the grandbaby, see, now you do better, do right. I gave her permission to spank your bottom if you act up. Good. Okay, good. You go back and you come back and pick your grandbaby up. And then your grandbaby over there, knees all busted up with a baseball bat. God damn! I didn't tell you to put no baseball bat to him. I just thanked him about him. And you put an overkill, and that what happened to you. You been an overkill put on you, children of Israel. See, it's an overkill been put on you. You ain't supposed to go through all this right here. The other nations have put an overkill on you. They got you now that you African American Christian. You eat hog. January the 1st day, you're supposed to eat all the hog and get your mouth on. Biggest chapter 11 said, no, you don't even touch it. They got you eating Chinese food and tell you don't seek their peace, nor their prosperity. They got you all over the place. They don't put an overkill on you. So remember, at one point in time, you knew where you were. Right now, our job is much bigger. Because right now, you don't even know who you are. See, our job, and that it was prophesied that was happening in 14 verse 12. Read that, St. John 14 verse 12. See, our job is this is a big job that's on our hands. That's why if you can get in and get in while you're fitting in it, land school, bank of all radio station, get in there and get in. Because our people in bad shape. Don't you want to help your grandmama out and your aunties out before they get up out of here, don't care, and they ain't going past no stars, moon, and sky? If they ain't keeping the law, statutes, and commandments, they're going to bun you in the thigh. Don't you want to tell them that? Don't you want your grandbabies to come to a school, fresh out of them temples, to understand they ain't got but one name, you got to keep sundown Friday, sundown Saturday? Don't you want to leave them that legacy? So help us help you. Land, school, banquet hall, radio station. We need our own. We had our own once before. What you mean, Latter-day Saints, where you had it once before? We did have it once before. Throw that point, y'all. Where we got to hold that point? Let me show you we had it once before, and it was on record. Let's go to Ezra chapter 4, verse 12. But there's always some snitches that will snitch you out and put the thing on you. But once upon a time ago, you did have some things. You know, it's a record of it. Your preacher just not going to read it. I'll tell you what we'll do. We want to last a minute. Big Digger Jerry said, well, where you were at? When was you on top once upon a time ago? He's reading them up. Easy already. 4:12, read a little bit, Elder.
The book of Ezra, chapter 4, verse number 12 reads, be known unto the king that Yahdah Judah which came up from you to us into the land of Yahdah Judah, building the rebellious and bad city that set up the wall thereof and joined the foundation. Verse number 13, be it known now unto the king, that if this city be built and the walls set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom. So thou shalt damage the revenue of the king. Verse 14. Now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonored, therefore have we sent and certified the king. Verse 13. A search may be made in the book of the records of your fathers. So shall they find in the book of the records. And know that this city is a rebellious city, hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. Verse 16. We certify the king that if this city be built again, and the walls thereof set up by this means, thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. Verse 17. Then sent the king an answer unto Rehum, the chancellor, unto Shimshiah, the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwell in Samaria, and unto the rest beyond the river, peace, at such a time. Verse number 18. The letter which you sent unto us have been plainly read before me. Verse 19. And I commanded, and search have been made, And it founded the city of old time and made insurrection against king, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Verse number 20. There have been mighty kings also over Yahdah Judah, which have ruled over all country beyond the river, and told tribute and custom was paid unto them.
Hey, did you hear the man say? He said it is reckless a once upon a time ago. The children of Judah, the one you call today, Christian, African-American, and Negro, and color, and super cool, once upon a time ago, everybody came and paid them. It was mighty kings over them. Didn't you hear what they said in the book of Daniel? We read in 1 verse 3 or 4. Bring the king's seed out. Here go your precept. Once upon a time ago, forefathers was mighty kings. Princes. Mighty. And the world came and brought you big 10%. You used to get 10%. See, you used to be the nation that every, that's why Yahweh put you in Ezekiel 5:5. Is the reason he put you right there in Ezekiel 5:5. What is Ezekiel 5:5 say?
The book of Ezekiel 5, verse number 5 reads, book of Ezekiel chapter 5, verse number 5. Thus saith Yahweh, this is Yahweh Judah, and set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her.
You see that? And your country went 1,500 miles for the rest of it, and everybody understood one thing. They could make a move without you. Everybody come through you and drop their 10% down to you once upon a time ago. That's why they cut you off from being a nation. That's why you got these preachers hemming you up and they may have you call yourself Christian. You don't see, are you? You the biblical Israelites in the Bible, 12 tribes. Your birth certificate is Exodus chapter 1, and none of you is called Christian. None of you is called Latino, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Jamaican. No, them slave names have been imposed on you. See, when you read, if you read this, they said, listen to verse 19 again, Elder. Look what it says in verse Ezekiel 4:19. No, read verse 18, what the king said he did, plainly. Wait, what did the king do in verse 18?
The book of Ezra, Ezekiel 4:19. And I commanded.
I want to make sure that when that snitch brought it back to the king, he said, look here. I'm hearing something out your mouth. What the king say he did in verse 18?
The book of Ezra, Ezra, chapter 4, verse number 18 reads, the letter which you sent unto us have been plainly read before me.
And what was in the letter 19 and 20? And they went and looked for it. Look here. I'm the king over everything. You get over there and find me a record about these people. I don't got so nervous. I don't know what to do now. What happened in verse 19 and 20?
Verse number 19. Verse number 20, Ezra, chapter 4, verse number 19. And I commanded, and search have been made, and it is found that this city of old time have made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Verse number 20. There have been mighty kings also over Yahdah Judah, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll and custom was paid unto them.
Now I'm out there and got me some Moody Bible institution license. I went to all these Yale universities and got me licenses about being a biblical Bible scholar, they say. and I don't even know nothing about this right here. I got all these degrees on the wall, and I don't know jack. When it comes down to Bible, y'all been jiving me around. Y'all been me around. That's what you've been doing. I didn't know, and you never told me, the children of Israel, that all nations came by and dropped their 10% off the meal. But what happened? And now I see why Psalms 83 said, cut them off being a nation. Because as long as you don't know who you are, give me a book of Thomas, verse 3. You know, see, that's why you got to be prepared. Listen, those that one day could be visiting the sixth anointing camp, we read out of the Bible. And all of us teach the same way, spirit-led. So come to get your mind burnt. We don't be telling you about where we're going, where we've been. We teach you. Our job is to teach you this book. Uncut this book. I mean, give you back-to-back scriptures all over the place. And if in the ministry, they can I teach the sixth anointing camp, then we'll quit what we do and we'll go join them. You tell me what ministry on the face of the planet today that can out teach the sixth anointing camp to walk up to his life. What's your name? What's the preacher's name? Do you know what I do? I join them. Just tell me why I'm going to listen to them. If I hear him use the right name and breaking scripture down, hey, you know what David said? I don't care. I gave the kingdom. I want to give the kingdom. So if it's a ministry anywhere on the face of earth, can I teach the sixth anointing camp anywhere else? We'll join them. You hear? You hear? We'll join them. We'll join them. Now, what you reading there?
We just read the book of Thomas, verse number 3.
Yeah, what does it say in verse 3?
The book of Thomas, verse number 3 reads, "The quarter son said, if those who lead you say to you, see the kingdom is in the sky, then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will precede you. Brother, the kingdom is inside of you, and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourself, then you will become known. You will realize that it is you who are the son of the living Father. But if you will not know yourself, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that property."
So you got to know yourself. Listen, Christianity is my religion. You are bloodline people, see, right? Israel, Israelites, it's not a religion. Do you know it's not a religion? No. What religion is that? No, it's not a religion. It is a bloodline in Numbers chapter 1. See, we have to always edify. No. When you saying you are to Israelite, you're not talking about being punctual. You're talking about from the Bible perspective. Do you know in the Bible perspective it talks about in Numbers chapter 1? Listen with the words they use. He says it's like you have to be edified by the sixth anointed camp. Israelite is not a religion. It's not something you can get in and get out. You can get in, be a Christian and become a Muslim. You'll be a Muslim and become a Christian. But this is a bloodline. Listen, let those seers show you in the Bible that we talk about a bloodline. Go to Numbers chapter 1. We're going to Numbers chapter 1, 1 down to verse number 4. We're going to do a little edifying real quick. Because spirits to edify those that think being an Israelite is a religion. No. Listen. Let's see what you're supposed to do according to Numbers chapter 1. And I want verse 1 read it. I want to know who's talking in the first two lines. Then I'm going to ask the elder how many letters is this.
I need the first two lines, then I'm going to ask you a question, Elder. How many letters is it? I want to make sure we know we're talking. Numbers 1:1, two lines.
The book of Numbers, chapter 1, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses in the wilderness.
And Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness. Hey, how many letters is that, Elder?
Four letters. YHWH.
Okay. Verse 2.
Verse number 2. Take you the sum of all the congregation of the family of Israel after their family by the house of their father with the number of their names, every male, by their poles.
Now you see that? Now he give an order. He give an order to the children of Israel that was in the wilderness. You know, another lesson in Acts chapter 7, they say they could put the word called the church on the children of Israel, but that's another lesson. And what happened in verse 4?
Verse number 4. And with you, there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the family of his father.
And he said, make sure that it be a man that run things. Make sure the head of the family be the man. You know what he said? That was Yahweh said. Make sure that you don't have Bermuda Biden or George Miles running up. So who run it is who running in verse 4?
Verse number 4. And with you, there should be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers.
Now look at that. Now look at the Latter-day Saints. Now you're going to open up something now, but we got, yeah, everybody got a place to play. Everybody have a role to play. But if you want to play Bible, let's play Bible. Now, hold that point. Let me get a precept on that. When you, in the book of Numbers. Look, everybody got a place in the Bible. Everybody got a place. You got to know your place. That's all. And book of Numbers there, Elder. I'm struggling right now, but Moses came and put a petition in the Yahweh about something, and we get back to where we're on in a minute. But he made a petition in the 27th chapter. Now, this is what Moses went to Yahweh and made a petition. He asked Yahweh a question. And all we want to do is see what he says in Numbers chapter 27. And we want to see what was said to precept what we just got to read. We go on to the 27th chapter. And what did we say around about 15? What verse is that around about 15? What do 15 down to verse 17 say? Listen, so listen now, Snorri. This is simple. When they jump you, don't just try to all of a sudden come back and bump your gums with them. Take a deep breath and just hear the precept. Because the precept is how you get understanding. See? So now, if you see it's not the precept of the Bible, you know, well, God is about how Bermuda Biden and George Myers and other couple more of them winners that be bumping their gums up there. But you know it's not scripture-wise. How you know? Watch this. And I'm going to pick up that verse number. We'll pick up that. 15 and 17. Watch this. 15 and 17 with the precept. What does it say?
The book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 15 and verse 17 reads, 15, book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse number 15 reads, and Moses spake unto Yahweh, saying, verse number 16, let Yahweh, the Yahweh of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Verse 17, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of Yahweh be not as sheep which have no shepherd.
You see that? So you see,
I don't care how smart you are, but who leads the congregation is a man. I don't care how smart you are. You may have all the degrees in the world, and your father might have been a pastor, and he got you right. But when it comes down to head of a congregation, according to Moses asked Yahweh, and Yahweh, and Moses said, if anything was wrong with that, Yahweh would have corrected him. Now we're going to read it again, and then we'll get another preacher up on it. Let's go to 27 chapter 15 through 17 again, number. Take your time, the elder, because listen here. We might not tell anybody. A woman have her place, but she don't lead man. Not in the congregation. She might be the president, might be whatever. But when you take that robe off, when you take all that off and come home and put a key in the door, see? You might have bet she might be the cat banging that bust inside your head all day long. But when you get home, see? Did the book say? Yeah, what does the Bible say? See, if we come back to the Bible, Yahweh going to intervene. Long as we don't come back to the Bible, then Yahweh going to do the Hosea 5:15. Hey, yo, what is saying Hosea 5:15 what Yahweh going to do?
The book of Hosea 5, verse number 15 reads, book of Hosea, chapter 5, book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse number 15, Hosea 5, verse 15 reads, I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offenses and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early.
He said, I'm going to go back and watch you. He said, I'm going to go back and watch you with you organized according to the Bible, or you are organized because of the position you've been put in the world. He said, I'm going to watch you. I'm going to see what you come back to his Bible and do. No, I don't like that part of jail. That's why it tells you plainly what kind of man you got to get. You just can't get any kind of man, because you get any kind of man, that man, you got to get a Bible man in 37 verse 12 and 15. See, so I tell you what kind of man to get. See, that's why you gotta bring him to school, and we gonna show you what kind of man that your daughters, your grandbabies got to be looking out for. Not old Lucky Jack and old Slick Rick. No, you got to train them up to have them a 37 verse 12 man. And 15 of Sirach. What is that, Adam?
The book of Sirach, chapter 37, verse number 12, verse number 15 reads, Sirach 37, verse 12, but be continually with a Yahwali man, whom you know to keep the commandments of Yahweh, whose mind is according to your mind, and will serve with you if you shall miscarry. Verse 15. And above all this, pray to the Most High that he will direct your way in truth.
You see that? You see that? So he's letting you know. See, where you make your mistake at, you go grab a man because he got a position and a job that can help you advance yourself, and find out this man is the worst thing you ever can check a stick at, because you went at it wrong. You're supposed to get you a Yahwali man that you know that keep the law, statutes, and the commandments. He's going to make sure he do the right thing with you. But you go out and get any kind of man because he can get you a better position. Oh, I got to get him. He's a basketball player. I got to get him because he's a doctor or a lawyer. And because he told my parents, yes, ma'am, and no, sir. No! See, this is where the school is so important at. We gonna get the babies out of pampers and show them. You don't just get with any relationship. Make sure the relationship is Acts chapter 1. See, we gonna show them, even in the Bible, the relationship of the Bible. Chapter 1, Elder. We going to show you what we going to teach. That's why help us help you. Don't you want to help your grandmama before she get up out of here? Don't you help this baby before they get to grade school? See, we're going to teach them this. We're going to teach them about one. We're going to think what we're going to teach them in school. What you going to teach in school? Yahweh, boss number two is what? I'll tell you what we'll teach in school. We're going to teach this. We're going to teach one, Acts chapter 1, verse number, what am I on here? Make that Luke. Luke 1, here. Thank you. We're going to teach Luke chapter 1, 5 and 6. That's what we're going to teach. What the school going to be about over there when you get to school, land, banquet hall, and a regular thing? What are we going to teach? Oh, we're going to teach Luke chapter 1. We teach Luke 1, 5, and 6. That's what we're going to start at, teaching. What does it say in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 and 6?
The book of Luke chapter 1, verse 5, verse number 6 reads, Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Yahdah Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the court of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth, verse number 6. And they were both righteous before Yahweh, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of Yahweh, blameless.
See, we going to teach you both got to be right. Well, where's your better half at all? He at home washing the car. I'm like, no. No, we're going to keep, look here, a relationship with the Bible, you both got to be on the same page. You both got to be right. You both got to be keeping the law, practicing the commandments. You here and he somewhere else, or she here and you somewhere. No, it don't work like that. See, we're going to teach that at the school, that when you get in a relationship, you both got to be right. Huh? And we not going to have you all over the place. Case in point, in 36 chapter 1 through 15. We might get out the way. Though. I mean, that's the way it went. And we come back and take it all that. See, we going to tell you regardless what the Bible says. See, we ain't going to back down from you. Matter of fact, we're going to do Proverbs 30 verse 30 on you. Hey, what is that in Proverbs 30 verse 30? What are we going to do on you?
Book of Proverbs chapter 30. Verse number 30 reads, Book of Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse number 30 reads, Book of Proverbs 30. Verse 30. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any.
We ain't gonna back down from you a lot of days, right? We ain't gonna back down from you, church out of New York. We ain't gonna back down from you, regardless how you pull the plugs on the radio station and the WCC. We ain't gonna back down. We gonna put some books on the table. That's simple as that. We ain't gonna back down from you, no. We gonna church the Bible saying. That's all we gonna do. Now, we show you in the 36th chapter of Numbers what happened to you if you don't follow the Bible and pay it no never mind. Hey, what it says in 36, 1 through 5, 1 through 15. Let's see what it says. Listen to what it says. I mean, if I don't get time to take care of the rest of the day, maybe I'll take care of tomorrow. But see, we can help you. But help us help you. Land, school, baseball hall, radio station. We going to show your grandmama they've been told wrong, and we get the baby right from the out of the pampers, that you don't just jump up in a relationship because he got long shoes on, or he can get you in a better position. You both got to be righteous in Yahweh. And another thing you got to do, Numbers 36, 1 through 15, listen to it. What it say?
Because Numbers 36. Verse number 1 through 15 reads, Numbers 36, verse number 1. And the chief fathers of the family of the children of Gilead, the son of Makir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spake before Moses, before the princes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel. Verse number 2. And they said, Yahweh commanded my Yahweh to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Yahweh was commanded by Yahweh to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. Verse number 3. If they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the family of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers. It shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. Verse number 4. When the jubilee of the family of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. Verse number 5. And Moses commanded the family of Israel according to the word of Yahweh, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph have said well. Verse 6. This is the thing which Yahweh doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry. Verse number 7. So shall not the inheritance of the family of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel, family of Israel, shall keep himself to the inheritance of their tribe of their fathers. Verse number 8. And every daughter that possesses inheritance in any tribe of the family of Israel shall be wife to one of the family of the tribe of her father, that the children family of Israel may enjoy every man the inheritance of his father. Verse number 9. He shall the inheritance remove from one tribe to another tribe, but every one of the tribe of the family of Israel shall keep his up to his own inheritance. Verse number 10. Even as Yahweh commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. Verse 11. For Malach, Terzak, Haggiel, and Melchi, Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married to their father's brother's son. Verse 12. And they were married to the families of the sons of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. And their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family. And they were married into the family of the sons of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. And their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their fathers. Verse 13. These are the commandments and judgments which Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moses unto the family of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho.
Can't marry outside of your tribe. Do you know what happened if you marry according to the Bible outside of your tribe? Do you know what Yahweh told Moses about the children of Israel in verse 3 and 4? Oh, I'm married outside of my tribe. Do you know what Yahweh says about that in verse 3 and 4? This is good, Numbers 36, 3 and 4, what he says about you marrying outside of your tribe. What do you think?
Book of Numbers chapter 36, verse 3, verse 4 reads, Numbers 36, verse 3. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the family of Israel, shall the inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers to the inheritance of the tribe, for if they are received, so shall it be taken from the lot of our inheritance. Verse number 4. And when the jubilee of the family of Israel shall be, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they are received. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers.
See, they get up the line in grade school, come out the temple. I don't care how good the other nations look to you. It's forbidden you to hook up with them in that bed relationship, that family thing. No. You lose your inheritance to Yahweh. Oh, you might gain plenty in the world. Guess what? But according to Yahweh, you lose. Read the last verse in that 36th chapter. Send it to this. 36.
The book of Numbers 36, verse number 13. These are the commandments and judgments which Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moses unto the family of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho.
See, we don't know these things. That's why it's so important to support this ministry. See, when we put the school together, we're going to train the babies out of temple. Don't, you can do business with the other nations, but don't marry them because you lose your inheritance in Yahweh. There you go. See? Now, but suppose you're dead. Now, he answered that question, dude. Let's go to EZRA. Look what he do. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know my pastor number. I paid him my tithe free with all the donations. Never tell me that. Oh, man. What happened? Oh, okay. Well, we'll find out. Go to EZRA chapter 9, and we'll find out what the Bible says. Oh, no. Time takes. Pick it with verse number 2. Let's read a bit. Let's find out. We find out what the Bible says. I mean, listen, we're not anti anybody. If we don't do what Yahweh tells us to do, I don't want to face the man not knowing that he told us what to give them. Because a lot of people think that these cross marriages is just a good thing. You know? But, yeah, according to the world. But what does the Bible say in verse 2? And we'll give you the answer. What do you do behind it according to scripture? We ought to comment after it's read. Take a verse 2. EZRA 9.
EZRA. Book of Ezra. EZRA. Chapter 9. Verse number 2 reads. For they have taken their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the righteous seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea. The head of the princes and ruler have been chief in this trespass.
Wait a minute. What is that again? By taking your daughter and taking your daughter and your son and meeting with the inhabitants of the land, what is that word again, that last word? This is a what?
In this trespass.
You got the man to say it. That's a trespass. When you get somebody that's not of your tribe, that's a trespass in the eyes of your mighty one. Is y'all reading with me? Good. Verse 3.
The book of Ezra, EZRA, chapter 9. Verse number 3 reads, when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down. Astonished.
Hey, listen, see what he did? When he heard that this was what he was doing, he said he ripped his garment. Yeah, the fear of the body had fringes on. And he had a beard on his face. Yes, he did. He said he plucked his beard. When he heard Jesus of Israel was doing, Jesus of Israel Levi was doing, he said he plucked over hair off his head. He said he pulled his beard off. He said he wanted to just sit down behind him. So you see, the seer's job is not a lack of a job. But when he heard what you were doing with these cross marriages and all this stuff and then you were doing, the seer just, he messed his garment up, some fringes on it. Yeah, he had a garment on with fringes on. He wasn't wearing no gay suit, a tie, no vest. No, he wasn't wearing that. That's 50 animals. And what happened next? What else he do in verse number 4?
Verse number 4. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the word of Yahweh of Israel. because of the transgression of those that have been carried away, that said astonished unto the evening sacrifice.
And just a huge world, so he called all the big dignitaries. Concealed job, called them all them big dignitaries over. And he looked at them, because he didn't tell Philip that the fear was the real deal back in the day. Real fear don't never mind today. See, back in the Bible, for that point else, in 1 Samuel 16, this is how they used to act in the Bible when the fear came around. But now you feel fear don't never mind today. So let me show you what your forefathers and mothers did back in the days when those fear came to visit you. In the 16th chapter, verse number 3 and 4. Let's see what it says in the 16th chapter. So let me show you how it was in the days of the Bible when those fear came in your presence. Verse 3 and 4.
Book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 3, verse number 4 reads. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 3. He called Jesse to the sacrifice. I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Verse number 4. And Samuel did that which Jehovah spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town